Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Well, anyways, for those of you that don't know me, I'm Kinu, and I have the great privilege of being one of the campus pastors here, along with my amazing, outstanding, prophetic, anointed husband in Antioch, California. Just like Pastor Kirsten said, we have been doing that work for about 6 years. And so me and all my kids, I have four kids, and then I have a bonus daughter-in-law. And so we are doing all the things in Antioch. And man, oh man, let me tell you, God is on the move. So just like you guys here in Wasilla and beyond, right? Revival is in the air and an awakening is going on, right? We cannot deny the fact that God is doing something. Right? Am I right? He is on the move for sure. And so tonight, I don't want to take a whole lot of your time tonight. I just want to share a little bit and get to know you a little bit. Maybe get to know me. Maybe not I get to know you. But if you want to yell, it's fine. If you want to, like, you know, clap and shout, throw a shoe, I'm totally fine with that. I was a youth pastor for many years, and I'm fine with shoes being thrown. Just don't hit my face, you know. That's not a good area. But listen, hey, so I have a couple things that I want to share with you tonight that you might not know about me. And the first thing is that I am a race car driver. Right? Don't I look like a race car driver? No, I don't. I want to be a race car driver when I grow up. That's what I've always wanted to be. I know, crazy, right? Do I look like I would be somebody that enjoys it? Well, I do. I love to drive fast, and I absolutely love everything race car. Actually, if you play the video games, like, I'm not going to give away the video game because, you know, whatever, but I am, like, champion of all time on this video game. So there's actually this movie, and I'm not going to say what it is, but it's about a guy who plays the video game but then ended up actually playing, like, racing the car, like the Formula One cars, and he ended up winning the whole situation, right? I feel like I could do that, but I'm just saying, right? It's whatever, you know, it's whatever, but I am really good at the video game, so I think in real life, I'm this person, right? So I take my car, you know, it's kind of lowered, you know, we're able to do that in California, we're lowered cars, right? I got the tires on there, and I take those corners nice and swiftly, right? I get that drift in there. How many of y'all know the drift, right? Y'all have the open, wide roads out here, you know, you get going. Okay, now, if you're a teenager in here, which you shouldn't be, you should be in youth, but if you are, that is not safe, and you should not drive, or a young adult, you should not drive up like that ever. Be experienced like me, because I played pole position for many, many years. So I'm very experienced in regards to that. Amen? Amen. So tonight, I just want to talk to you a little bit about the drift, right? The drift of all the things in our lives. And so as I was thinking about this story and how much I enjoy, being a race car driver, I was talking to one of my good friends, and a part of his birthday present that he got from his wife was she took him to, I don't even know, was it? But I don't know what kind of cars they were driving. I don't know, maybe a Formula One car. So he's like me. We both are like in it. Like, we're like, yes, we think we're race car drivers. You know, people look at us like, sure, you know, you're crazy. Especially me. They think I'm crazy, but it's fine. And so he is telling me all these things. He says, my wife took, she rented a day or a couple laps or however it works out. And which I never even heard you can do that. So I was like, hello, that is like the gift of all gifts, right? That's the bucket list gift. I'm like, that's something that's great to, that'd be great to do. But he did this thing. So his wife took him out there and he did, you know, however many laps or whatever. And he said, by the time he was done, he was terrified. He's like, holy smokes, I will never do that again. That was a little bit too hardcore for him. And so I don't know. I think I still would enjoy it. I would enjoy going fast. I've always liked to be fast. I've always wanted to be a race car driver. But there's just something about the speed, the turns, the adrenaline, the power. It just pumps me up. You ever get pumped up? Are you guys pumped up by that? Right? I know it's not a normal girl thing to do, but I just love it. I know you guys here in Alaska. Sorry, I'm trying to figure out my iPad situation here. I don't know how to make it stand up. Good. Does it stand up here? Do people do that here? Okay, right here. You get the tips and tricks. But I don't know how you guys do, but you guys do have some drifting of snow drifts around here that you see, you know. Right? I see that out here. Cars sliding on ice. We did that a couple times since we've been here, you know? The nice little slide where you all of a sudden lose control. Wind pushing you sideways. You guys ever have I'm sure you do, because Alaska has the most extreme winter weather, right? Now, I lived in Southeast Missouri for 13 years, and let me tell you, that weather was a whole thing. It was not like Alaska, but I could say, in my experience, it was similar to Alaska. And so going through the roadways during the winter and having ice storms, you know, we moved to Southeast Missouri in the middle of an ice storm, and it was a whole thing. And so, but anyways, tonight, but drifting, listen, drifting isn't losing control. It's learning how to stay aligned while you're sliding. It's movement with sensitivity. It's motion with surrender, right? So when you go, for those of you that don't know what drifting is when you go and you're riding the curve or wherever it is, you know, highway, is it Highway 1 here? Is that what it is? Highway 1? Yeah, when you ride Highway 1, and I don't know how many, again, safety first, be a professional like me first, and then you can do it, and you're riding, you're getting to that curve, and you can kind of feel if you turn wrong, you know, you're for sure going down, but if you're careful with it, it's you curve nice and sweet. I have this little area in our hometown in Antioch that is like the perfect, like, speedway. It's got like all the curves, and it's real nice, and I can drift really easy, but the thing is that you have to go with it, right? Because if you go against it, if you go against the drift, you crash. I mean, that's just the truth of it, right? You lose control. And so that is what I want to talk to you tonight about. Because listen, we are all in revival. We are so excited about being in revival, not only in Wausau, but in Antioch. This is something that is just, for such a time as this. How many of y'all know that we have been praying for years and years and years to see a move of God the way we have seen in this town, in this season? Amen? I mean, there's just no words to describe how God has really showed up in this season. And revival is all drifting. The Spirit shifts and you shift with Him. He moves and you move with Him. But at the same time, revival isn't just wind. Revival is also a flame. And flames need protection. You can't take a little candle into the wind unless you guard it, right? We can't go out in the wind. We got to make sure that we guard it. Because wind doesn't keep a flame alive. So tonight, God brought me here to tell you, catch a drift, but guard the flame. Move with the Spirit, but don't let what He started burn out. I feel like all of us that have been a part of this revival, that are part of awakening, we're so excited. We're so, yes, God, do it. We have another service. We have this amazing moment with Jesus, right? And then we go back to life again. And we sort of walk out revival, and then we kind of become used to revival, and then our vision kind of gets capped off again, because, you know, we got the building, right? Didn't we? We got the campus, okay? We got the finances, we got the things. So now what do we want from God? We got the healing that we wanted, okay? Right? Just kind of like how Minister David was just his message. Just like we get what we want, and then we kind of just like, okay, let's just go with the thing. And we don't want to be people that just go with the thing. Amen? We want to keep that fire burning. We want to keep drifting. We want to keep moving with God, right? But not only do we want to keep moving, we want to keep that fire so burnt up within our bones, shut up in our bones, that we can only expect God to move in the next thing and the next thing. Because there are people out there, there are families out there, and they might be in this room that still need Jesus, that need revival in their hearts and in their homes. I personally need revival. I need revival personally. Personally, but I also need revival for my extended family, for my mom, my dad, my brothers, my sisters. I need revival to happen. Everyone always says, you know what? California, crazies, right? Like, they could just go break off into the ocean, they'd be fine. But listen, I have a whole, my whole family is there. And so I'm waiting to see them here, to see the land, see them saved in the land of the living. I want them to know the goodness of God here on earth before they get to heaven, that He is so faithful. He's so good right here, right now. Amen. And so tonight I want to talk to you a little about that. And there's a story in the Bible that you guys probably are super familiar with, as you guys are Bible believe in church, just like us, Kings. But this is a familiar story that is a common one to a lot of us that love the noise and the sound of revival. My scripture is 2 Kings 2, 1 through 14. And I am going to read the whole thing just because it's a story in itself. And I feel like it's really vital and really important to sort of what my message is tonight. And so bear with me, but I feel like you guys are used to reading a little bit, right? You guys like to read the word, so let's get into it. And so I'm going to start. It says, when the Lord was about to take Elijah to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were traveling from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you." So they went down to Bethel together. The group of prophets from Bethel came to Elisha and asked him, "Did you know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you today?" "Of course I know," Elisha answered, "but be quiet about it." I think that's funny. Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to Jericho." But Elisha replied again, "As surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you." So they went on together to Jericho. Then the group of prophets from Jericho came to Elisha and asked him, "Did you know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you today?" "Of course I know," Elisha answered, "but be quiet." "Be quiet." Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to the Jordan River. But again, Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you." So they went on together. 50 men from the group of prophets also went and watched from a distance as Elijah and Elisha stopped beside the Jordan River. Then Elijah folded his cloak together and struck the water with it. The river divided, and the two of them went across the dry ground. Then when they came to the other side, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I can do for you before I'm taken away." And Elijah replied, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit and become your successor." "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah replied. "If you see me when I'm taken from you, then you will get your request. But if not, then you won't." As they were walking along and talking, suddenly the chariot of fire appeared, drawn by horses of fire. It drove between the two men, separating them. And Elijah was carried away by a whirlwind into heaven. Elijah saw it and cried out, my father, I see the chariots and the charioteers of Israel." And as they disappeared from sight, Elijah tore his clothes in distress. Elijah picked up Elijah's cloak and had fallen when he was taken up. Then Elisha returned to the bank of the Jordan River. He struck the water with Elijah's cloak and cried out, "Where is the Lord thy God of Elijah?" Then the river was divided and Elisha went across. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for what you're doing. Father, I just thank you that every word that proceeds out of my mouth is only to glorify you tonight. Help me, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so check it out. This wasn't just a story. We all are familiar with this story. And if you're not, surprise, now you are. Amen. But this is a really great, 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 great story in the Bible. The life of Elijah. The similar names, you know, I just feel like it's too close. It's very, very close, and it's confusing sometimes. I try to explain that to the kids, and they get it confused. Nobody knows, you know. And you don't, until you're like 25, right? At 25, then you have an understanding of sort of what name is which, that you realize, like, oh, there's a J and there's an S in there. But check it out. This wasn't just a story. This was training. Amen? God was teaching Elisha how to move with his wind without losing the fire. Listen, the wind sets the direction of where we go. Every move of God begins with movement. You cannot drift if you're parked. Elijah kept moving from Gilgal to Bethel to Jericho to Jordan. And at every stop, Elijah said, "Stay here." But what did Elisha say? "As the Lord lives, I'm not staying where God was. I am following where he is going." Amen. The four stops, let me show you really quickly. Each stop has represented in that Elijah had to do. First of all, Gilgal, the place of beginnings. Gilgal is where God cuts away the old. How many of us need some cutting away of the old? Even though we're in revival, we need some old stuff still cut up. Amen? I believe that in this time of awakening, there's a lot of things that have been brought to the surface. How many of y'all felt that a little bit? That pain, right? All that contending that we're pushing through. But God, we have this great thing going, and all of a sudden, all this other stuff is crashing in on us, right? We have some old things we need to cut off in order for us to get to the new. Amen? This is a place where he resets us. Gilgal asks, "Will you start again when God asks you to start again?" Amen. Bethel, the place of encounter. Bethel is where you feel God, where you hear God, but Bethel can become familiar. We can have a routine with God. We could go before God every single day. We could have our, you know, do our check. I pray every day at the same time every day. We read our word at the same, but it becomes routine. We can be very routine with these things that we have to make sure that we're keeping that fire stoked in our heart, right? That nothing we do is routine because we are serving, after all, the Lord of Lords, right? Bethel asks, "Will you stay hungry even after you've tasted glory?" This is a good one. I feel like, you know, a couple months ago, we've had this great, and Pastor Aaron had talked about it, I think in morning service, how we did the revival services, and the Lord said, don't have any special guests, that you guys are the special guests. We're like, awesome, this is going to be great. Hopefully one person show, you know, like, this is great. Like, yeah. And we have the most incredible encounter with Jesus. The house was packed. It was full. We were baptized. I mean, it was messy and really, really great, right? And we have these really fantastic moments where everybody is changed. Lives are changed. Miracles, signs, and wonders are taking a place in front of our eyes. And yet, we find ourselves going back to some of the things that we just got rid of or that we just walked through. We find ourselves back to those places, and we don't find ourselves in those hungry places as we should, that it should be stoking our fire and not just being a moment of fire, right? It should be something that we are continuously being stirred up, right? We want to be stirred, constantly being stirred, instead of just rather it being a moment, just a place, just a marker in time. Amen? Jericho, the place of past victory. Oh, Jericho, where God did the miracles. We all know this, where the walls fell, right? The battle of Jericho, right? You guys know that one? Obviously, I don't know that one. So will you honor God? Will you honor what God did without getting stuck where God did it? I mean, listen to that. Lean into that for a second. Will you honor God without getting stuck? Right? We get these, again, back to, we get the miracles, we get the signs, we get the wonders, but we can't stay there. God is on the move, right? If we stay there, if we don't testify what God's doing, if we're not going out and saying, this is what God has done in my life, I give him all the glory. There's no way this could happen in my life. There's no way that these things could happen in my family, but God. And if you don't testify, you don't share those things, if you're not transformed in those things, you can get stuck where you're going. And we don't want to get stuck, do we, church? We don't want to be a stuck group, no. And then Jordan, the place of crossing over. Jordan is the dividing line. Jordan asks, will you walk into what you've never seen to receive what you never carried? Pastor Aaron has a saying that we've been saying for the year at our church in Antioch, and it is, don't do what you've always done. Do something that you've never done. Well, how do you do that? If you've never done it, you just do it, right? You just do it. And that's the thing, is that we have to be a people that are doing new things. God is the creator of all the universe, right? That he put his creation in us, that we may create new ways, new ideas, new things to impact, to bring restoration, to bring reconciliation to each other, right? To bring new hope and a future for others. That if we've even said yes to Jesus, that we already have a more hope than someone that does not. Just from our first yes. Amen? All right, so at every stop, the temptation was to settle. Every single stop, the temptation was to settle. But he had everybody on every side going, what are you doing? This is crazy. And he's like, be quiet, you know? Just shut up. Just shut up. Can we say shut up? No, we don't say it. We don't say it in my house either, so I probably should know better than to say that. But but there was temptation was to settle. At every stop, there was a reason to stay. Those were all really great places, right? All really great encounters with the Lord. All really great moments. But Elisha was like, I'm not staying there. I'm not going to stay put. I'm on the move. At every stop, there was comfort, familiarity, history, but the Spirit said, move. And if Elijah never stopped moving, he would have missed the mantle. Come on, somebody. We do not want to miss our mantle. We do not want to miss what God has for us in the next season. And he's got big things. We have a moment in our time, and we have an opportunity in this moment to get such a mantle from the Father that we can break strongholds over our families. Amen? That I cannot wait till the day that I am celebrating with my entire family the goodness of the Lord and all that he's done in my family. Amen? And it's coming. Amen? And when it happens, you have three choices, right? Let's see if my iPad would agree with me tonight. When you're not trying, oh, here's the go. We don't want to miss the mantle. All right, so here, check it out. So when I lived in Missouri, we're kind of familiar with winter, but not like to the extreme level of Alaska. You guys have it worked out, and you have all the tools and the things. So we moved to Missouri, and it was probably our first year. I had little kids at the time, and I had my expedition, so I thought I was set to go. I've got four-wheel drive. I'm good to go, and I'm taking the kids to school early in the morning, and we are literally in the middle of an ice storm. So, but for whatever reason, we're going to still have school. Let's go to school still. So this Southern Californianer thinks, you know, okay, I can make it. My husband gave me direction. You know, he's like, babe, you know, don't stop on a bridge, right? Like, don't break on a bridge because it's frozen. He gave me all the philosophy, right? And then he says, you know, make sure when you get to ice, an icy portion of the road, that you also don't stop, that you don't put on your brakes, that you don't respond, right? That you just kind of go with the flow. And so here I am. It's early in the morning. I'm taking the kids to school, and I hit some ice, and I panic, but in my mind, I'm just like, brrr, Erin Anderson said, you know? And so I calculated for just a moment, and I just kind of let the ice lead. Now, this doesn't always happen. Out here, I'm sure there's a lot of bad things that happen with ice, but this particular situation, that drift, that letting go of control helped to glide me exactly where I needed to be. And so when it happens to you, we have three choices. When something like this happens, we can panic if we do that. What if I panicked, I would crash, right? And the same goes for our lives. When we panic in situations where we get to a slippery place where it's a little bit icy, where we want to drift and we're like, okay, we panic, what happens? You're going to crash every single time, right? We can't panic. You freeze, you spin out, you put those brakes on. Ooh, I've done that before. That's not a pretty one either. How many of y'all have done that? That's not fun. You spin out and you thank the Lord that you're still alive. That is where that works out. And then if you lean into it, if you go with the flow of it, you live. And in my particular story, we survived this, and then thank the Lord, good Lord, for that. But when the Spirit shifts your life, don't panic. Don't freeze. Lean into the drift. Amen. So what does this mean for you, all this drift talk? It means when seasons shift, don't resist, respond. When God moves, don't hide, follow. When life slides, don't fight the drift, find the Spirit within it. When uncertainty hits, don't shut down, stay surrendered. Amen? When you feel out of control, don't pull away, press in deeper. Go deeper. When we feel out of control, go deeper with God. I give it all to you, Jesus, for you've given it all to me. I give it all to you. I know that he can do all things well. Amen. When the momentum builds, don't hit the brakes. Stay aligned. When God changes direction, don't stay parked in an old season. Move with him. Because the fire requires our attention. Wind moves you, but fire sustains you. The Bible says in Leviticus 6, 12 through 13, and the fire of the altar shall be kept burning, and it shall not be put out. Amen? God didn't say, I'll keep it burning. He said, you keep it burning. It is up to us to keep the fire burning at our altars. Amen? We have to be responsible for it. We're the ones that carry the revival. We're the ones that carry this awakening, right? That we can't be so used to all the things. We can't stop at one place or another. We can't stop at Gilgal or Jordan or Jericho. We can't stop at these places. We have to keep moving, and we have to keep that fire stoked and make sure that altar is being lit in our bellies. Amen? So how many of y'all know how terrible it is when you have the pilot light go out in your water heater? Has that ever happened to you? That is like off. It's not fun, right? And you always find out when you're in the middle of a shower. This is always when I find out when things are going wrong, is when that tiny flame goes out and you're like, oh, shoot. I'm not taking a shower today, and hopefully I don't have shampoo in my hair at that time, right? And so as I would endure that, I feel like that was sort of what the Lord gave me about the same thing, is that refer to this, is that in our lives, we have all of this functioning. You know, we're going on, we're doing the things, we're excited. Oh, I'm going to serve here, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. But if that fire within us is not lit, it's going to leave us cold, right? It's not going to be the fullness of what it was supposed to be. When we go in and we take a shower, the water comes on, the knobs are there, the bath towel's there, the robe is there, it's all ready for the shampoo, the soap is all there. But if the water is cold, right? It's a bad day. It's a bad day in the Anderson household when that happens. And let me tell you, it's happened too many times. Some of you have big gifts, but right now your pilot light is barely flickering. And God is saying, guard your flame. Amen. It means stay fed in the word, stay soft in worship, stay quick to repent, stay accountable, stay pure. This is a big one, guys. This is a big one in this awakening, is that we've got to stay pure and holy before the Father. Stay teachable and stay available. We want to be available for Jesus and what he's doing. It means don't expect God to maintain the fire you refuse to tend. Listen, we have a responsibility, right? We have a responsibility to him and to us and even to others to do what we're supposed to do, to walk in that obedience, to tend our fire and to make sure that it doesn't go out. Our eyes are open on the road ahead. Elijah told Elijah, if you see me when I'm taken, it shall be so. Vision mattered. Focus matter. Vision matters. Focus matters. You cannot drive in a car, in a vehicle, and have an icy windshield, right? I know I've got like way too many Alaska references here, but I'm like, well, might as well, because I'm in California and we have like no winter. So, but like when you go out, and this is actually funny because this has happened to me too many times. And I don't know, maybe I'm the only like one person that didn't get how to actually get ice off of my windshield in time before I had to be at work. And so I would get up early in the morning when I lived in Southeast Missouri, and it would be, my windshield would be iced over, and I'm always like in a hurry. You know, I got four kids. Everybody get in the car, let's go. Mom's got to be at work, but I also got to get you to school. Like everyone's got to get fit. Everything's happening, right? And then my windshield's iced over. Now, they give you these like tools or whatever that you can buy, but we all know those don't work. That's not true. They don't work. They don't work, right? Like there's all the ways. Nothing ever worked for me. I don't know. You could leave the car for whatever reason. When it's so thick, it doesn't matter, right? So if you had a trick, maybe you need to share it and like, you know, go on Shark Tank or something and make it available for all, because I just didn't, in the 13 years I lived there, I never figured this out. And so I would get out there with the, like the, trying to scrape, and I would get like this big of a peephole. You ever drive like that? You're like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna die. And then you add the sun to it, right? And the sun glaring off the windshield, that's a whole nother thing. The sun glaring, you got the peephole. You're like, hold on, kids, we're all going down. You know, like we really gotta be. And see, and I say, like, I'm a race car driver, but like, but maybe not. But anyway, but I'm like trying to do it. And actually, there was one time that I was like, okay, I gotta do it. And I couldn't get enough to see out of. And the glare was so bad from the sun off of the ice on my windshield that I had to like, roll my head out the window and drive. It was so terrible. It was awful moment. But how much more with us, with God, right? That vision matters. We've got to be able to see out of the windshield. Amen. We can't just have like a little peephole. We've got to have a, make sure that we can see the whole thing. Because even when I put my head out the window, I could only see a partial view, right? That we have to remember that vision matters and focus matters. Amen. We can have all the horsepower and no anointing. Listen, I had the right vehicle. My car was good. I had a full tank of gas. I was set to go. But without a windshield to be able to see, it did nothing for me. Amen? But without visibility, you will crash. That's a fact, Jack. Eyes open means stay aware, stay discerning, stay sober, stay alert. Don't let offense fog your windshield. Come on, somebody. Don't let distraction blind you. Don't let noise drown out the spirit. Come on, somebody. There's a lot of noise going along out in this world today. Do not let the noise drown out the spirit of God. Because the mantle falls on those who are watching, not those who are wondering. Come on. So we want to be a people that live from monument to momentum. Amen. We don't want to be ones that are like, oh, we had this really great revival service. We had this really amazing speaker. I was transformed and I was healed and all these things. And we leave it there and we go on to our life and we just kind of do this thing and we become these robots, these really great Christian robots that go through life without having that fire stoked within us, that we lose our holy zeal. Right? Now, God doesn't say that we have to be these perfect, like crazy Christians like Pastor Kirsten and I, right? Like all the time we're like, and let me tell you, I'm not always like this, you know, that's not what it's saying, but it is saying that when we are full of his joy, that it is our strength. Can I tell you that that is the one thing that has sustained me my entire life, is the joy of the Lord is your strength. That even when I don't feel like it, I pulled on the joy. It was supernatural joy. It's not this joy that we're like, oh, we got the joy. You know, that's not the, what it, it's the supernatural joy that breaks through every stronghold. Amen. That breaks off every curse. Amen. That breaks off every attitude, every emotion, every bad day. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And that's the zeal. That's that holy zeal where that comes from. That when we are stewarding that thing, when we're stirring that fire, we're stewarding our joy and we're have an awareness of, like, it is so very important for us to know that holy zeal, that holy fire is so very precious that we have to guard it, right? Because it is, in fact, our weapon. Amen? It is a way of warfare. But we cannot be a people that just have moments of monuments in our lives. We need to make sure that we are building momentum. Eliza sees the whirlwind, and what does he do? He builds a memorial. Nope. Take the selfie? Maybe. Make a shrine? No. He picks up the mantle, walks back to the river, and strikes the water. Come on, somebody. He didn't build a monument. That is where God moved. He built momentum for where God was taking him. Amen. He did not settle for just having this monumental moment. You know, when you travel, you go to these different places. Like Pastor Daniel and Pastor Karen are right now, and they're in Israel, and they're going to these different places that are like monuments, right? Because they've been around for hundreds and hundreds of years, and they go around and you see these great things. And even throughout our country, we have quite a few monuments that you can see. So as a tourist, right, if you go as a tourist and you're like, oh, that's really great, and you take a lot, I'm Japanese, so the Japanese take a lot of photo, you know? So we go places, and we have lots and lots and lots of pictures, And we get to leave those places, right? Like you go to the hotel room, you're like, oh, they'll clean up. You know, hopefully we're good stewards of our hotel rooms, amen. But, you know, they'll do the things, and then you leave. But the difference is, as tourists, and if somebody that is an owner or somebody that actually lives there, we have ownership, right? Versus local. Tourists take pictures, locals build. Some Christians are tourists in revival. They love the moments. Have you ever met anybody like that? Where they just love those holy moments where they come to our conferences and they're just like, I got that moment. They're tourists. They're taking all the pictures. They're posting it on Facebook and Insta. They're doing all the things and they're showing the whole world what's happening, but it's just a monument in their life. And you know that they're still living their life that they've always been living. They're still saying all the trash they've always been saying. They're still talking about all the things that they shouldn't be talking about because they're monument Christians. Amen. Not a single person in this room. They love the moments, but they never build the movement. But God is teaching me in this season to call out some builders. Amen. This means don't cling to what God did. Move into what God is doing. Don't replay old miracles. Expect the new ones. Don't settle for nostalgia. Step into the right now faith. Don't shrine your last season. Strike the water of your next. Listen, may we never be known just for these monument moments, but for our movement. May we be a people that are continuously moving with the Father. May we have an understanding that it's so very vital for each of us to be fired up and to steward what God has given us well. Whether you're a new believer or you've been doing it your entire life, that it is so very important in this hour to do those things. And I promise you, if you are a good steward of those things, the areas in your life that you've been contending for, God will take out. He is a faithful God. I've been living this side of salvation for 27 years. And let me tell you, my family should not be what my family is. I've got 4 amazing kids. I have a 24-year-old, a 26-year-old, 24-year-old, a 20-year-old, and I have an 11-year-old. Yeah, that's a whole thing, right? We could talk about that later if you want to, how that happens. But let me just tell you, it is crazy to raise kids in this day and age. And the only way that I was able to do it with my background, with what I was given, the lineage that I was given looked nothing like what I have now. But the goodness of God, that song that Minister Toby was singing, all my life you have been faithful. Amen. He is such a faithful God. So if you've been serving God right now, and this is the first time, the first week, the first month, the first year, and you're just getting to know how gracious God is in your life, I promise you, if you surrender your life to Him, if you go in full throttle, if you say, God, I'm going to go fully in with you, I'm going in full drift, we're going fully fired up for you, He will take care of all the things. Amen? Because how much more did He care about you to pull you out of the muck that He pulled you out from the beginning with? That's the first miracle, right? That's the biggest miracle. We don't see it here on earth because we haven't been glorified to heaven yet. But let me tell you, that is the biggest miracle that can happen in your life, right? But He's more than that. He's such a good father that he says, no, here, while you're here, I'm going to take care of all the things. I'm going to take all care of all your needs. But we got to be stoked. We got to be aligned. We got to be moving with him and have an alignment with him and knowing that our Father in heaven, his goodness is for us. Amen. That we have to honor him. We have to show him all the things that we have to surrender our lives that we need from him. All he wants is our time. All he wants is more and more of us. So that marriage that is broken, that addiction that you're walking through, the brokenness in your family, the areas that need to be restored, the family members that do not know the Lord, let me tell you, I can tell you that happens. I can tell you that God is the God that does mighty things. And if you stay faithful, he will do it for you. Amen? He is such a good God. He wants nothing other than to watch his children glow for him, to love him abundantly, right? He wants to see us happy, and he wants to use it for his glory. And so be encouraged in knowing that he is on your side, and he is ready to move in your life. But we have to be diligent in knowing that we are moving forward. We're a people that move, that we're not going to get stuck in the we're in revival, that no, we are walking in more and more and more and more every day. Amen? That our drift is so on fire that when we go in, we are still locked in every single day. That despite what my emotions tell me, I mean, y'all know emotions are big right now, right? There's a name for everything. Everything's got a name, like gaslighting and all that. If you're, don't come at me with all the things, the terms, right? But it's true. Like everything has something, right? There's a title for every single thing. But our emotions don't rule us. Do you know who rules us? Our Father in heaven rules us. We are not ruled by the ways of this world. We are ruled by kingdom mentality, right? That those things do not have any control over me. And so we have to tell ourselves, listen, soul, you'll bless the Lord, because we ain't doing that today, right? Because the joy of the Lord is our strength and our shield. Amen? That we are coming in victorious, that we are a people of warfare, and that we are going to fight for. I had to fight for my family. I had to fight to be a wife, let alone a good wife. I had to fight to be a mom, let alone a good mom. I had to diligently seek the Lord every single day of my life. God told me many, many years ago, I said, God, how on earth am I going to be able to raise this family, raise these kids? He said, you come to my feet every single day, I'll raise your kids. And let me tell you, he did. My kids love the Lord. They serve the Lord. You know what they love? They love the church, which as a PK, that's a tough thing. They see a lot of tough things, and they love the church. And it's such a beautiful thing. So I encourage you today, surrender your life to Jesus fully today. Check in your heart. Where am I at with Jesus today? What place am I locked in at? Am I moving forward? Am I doing and going where I'm supposed to be going? You know, I don't know why I have this message for you tonight. You guys probably all think I'm crazy, and that's okay. But I just know that God wants us to keep on moving. And I don't know what that means for you. I don't know where you're standing today. I don't know where you need God more in your life. But he does, because he's a good God and he's a faithful God. But before we can do any of those things, before that we can lock in with him, before we can have zeal, before we can have joy and understanding the strength, and before we can war, we have to know who Jesus is first, right? That we have to know that Jesus is our Lord and Savior above all anything else. And so tonight, before we close, I want to, with every head bow and every eye closed, I just want to ask a simple question for anybody in the room. If you don't know Jesus, or maybe you do, or you have in the past, and you have come to a spot in your life where you haven't given him what you should have given him, and you've walked away from him. And tonight, I just want to invite you back. And so for every person, if that is you tonight, I just want you to look up at me tonight, and I want to just agree with you in prayer tonight. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right, church family, let's do it together tonight. Let's stand with our church family and just agree with them. Everybody to your feet, let's stand up and let's just say, dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. Today, I declare I'm ready for you to love me back. I ask you now to come into my heart and forgive me of my sins. I now confess you today as my personal Lord and Savior. And I thank you that I'm going to heaven and I'll never see hell. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. Let's give it up for the ones in this room that said yes or recommitted tonight. Listen, I'm going to close this out really quickly, but I just want to pray for you tonight. Wherever that you may be, I want you to be driven by fire. I want you to be so stoked up, so ready to go, so engaged with what God is doing, despite the fact that we are in this great awakening and the revival. And yes, it's exciting, but we have to keep that flame going for it to be sustained. Amen. We have so many movements, so many great awakenings in the Bible, so many great awakenings here, even in America and beyond, right, in the world. And what happens is they stop, right? There's an end to them. But I believe that we are part of a time and a season where this great awakening is not going to stop. That we're in a good, until the Father says it's going to stop, amen? But we are going to be in a time where there is no end because a man's doing. Because we're so stoked up. We're so in alignment with God that we continue to walk with him in revival and awakening. So let me just pray with you really quick as I close. Father, we just thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for who you are. I thank you, God, for every person in this room. I thank you that you're giving them what they need according to their portion, Lord. Father, I thank you for pouring your spirit out even now. Father, that you're meeting us right where we are in those dry places, in those cold places, in those lonely places, in those desperate places, God. You're pouring out your spirit and you're bringing in a new revelation of who you are, a new fire that is going to burn within them, that's shut up in their bones like never before. You are a good God. You're a faithful God. Father, do it now, Father, in Jesus' name. We just thank you. We praise you for who you are. We thank you that we can come before you tonight and say, do it and you do it. We thank you that tonight that you're reconciling family, Lord God, that you're bringing marriages back together, that you're healing cancer even now, Lord God. Father, I thank you that you're doing things that even in our country, Lord, Father, that we can't even see, Father. I thank you that there's positions, there's doors that are going to be open, Father God. Father, in positions that people are going to stand in, Father, of influence like never before, Lord. I thank you that you're doing a new thing. Stir us up tonight, Father. Fan into flame, Jesus. We just thank you. We praise you. We give you every bit of honor and glory to your name. In Jesus' name. And all my amazing church family said, amen.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. And may God's face shine upon you.